probably will, because we're over the target tonight, and we're going to talk to you about the other Jerusalem that you've never heard about. It is a place called Salem, and that means a city of peace. We know from the Bible that this is where, in the 14th chapter of the book of Genesis, we read that a Melchizedek priest, oh my, I just shiver to think about this and get excited to think that of all places, this Melchizedek priest, without father and without mother and without beginning and without end, would place his feet right where I'm going to talk about tonight. And that he made a covenant. Now, this is the Jerusalem above, not the one below. And ladies and gentlemen, we're just going to have to do this justice. We're going to have to do several parts on this message tonight that I'm preaching on. I'm going to have to really get in depth involved to give you a general comprehensive understanding, because it's possible that you've never heard this message before. Now, if you've not heard the message, you're lacking information. How can you hear without a preacher? How can he preach except it be sent? Faith comes by hearing, and hearing by the word. Now, like I said, going into the message tonight, you're going to find out, we've done declared, that they are two Bethlehems, one in the south and one in the north. There are two Jerusalems, one in the south and one in the north. The one that is located 40 miles north of the present-day Jerusalem that's in the south, 40 miles north, was the original place of the first temple built. We're going to tell you who built it. We're going to tell you who destroyed it, and then who rebuilt it. And this is going to be very informative for you here, and you might want to take a few notes, because we're going to build a gestalt. It's going to take several messages, several hours, looks like, to cover this. Now, let me give you some geographical research that I've done on the ancient city of Shechem, 40 miles north, as I've said, of Jerusalem, present-day Jerusalem in the south, 5.5 miles southeast of Samaria. Well, wasn't all of those that spoke on the day of Pentecost, were they not all Samarians and Galileans? Up in Galilee, beyond the Sea of Jordan, the book of Isaiah chapter 9 tells you that there would be a great happening up there, and that it would be forecast by a prophet, the prophet Micah. He prophesied of a birth of a Savior, not born in the southern area of Bethlehem, Judea, but born in the north, geographically speaking, at this very location where the Melchizedek priest who met Abraham from these kings, one of these kings, ladies and gentlemen, was from Jerusalem in the south. It was a Canaanite. We can prove that Jerusalem was a Canaanite stronghold. Archaeology has proved that it was a city of Jezebite garrison of the Canaanites. It was a fortified, well-defended city, and it actually wasn't taken until 1000 B.C. by David, and yet I proved last night that the Canaanites still dwelled among the house of Judah, because they moved up north into Benjamin's territory. This is the land grant of the book of Joshua chapter 18, granted to Benjamin, the youngest son of Rachel's children. Joseph was the oldest of Rachel's children, and right here where the Melchizedek high priest, man, I tell you what, I'm really feeling the unction of the Father, because we're going to give you some revelations tonight and tomorrow night. You just don't want to miss these powerful messages of truth unfolding, perhaps tonight for the first time, and I don't know how many years. I do know that the Messiah spoke of this. Now, he spoke of this simply because we know in the book of Mark, I'd like to thank my good brother from way up north that gave me this scripture, where it is in the book of Mark, and it is in chapter 13, and I'm going to read verse 14, the Messiah speaking. Now I'm going to show you something here. That when you shall see the abomination of desolation spoken of by Daniel the prophet, so we got to involve Daniel the prophet, and tomorrow night, maybe perhaps tonight, I'll go into the 14th chapter of the book of Zechariah and show you that the city where they killed him would be destroyed by the prophecy of Zechariah, fulfilled by the forewarning of this prophet, and that Yahweh himself would be instrumental in leading the enemy of the Jews at that time. He's going to bring a people against the city and destroy it, and that was, of course, it was fulfilled 70 A.D. Now, ladies and gentlemen, there is something out of skelter here. If you believe that the present-day Jerusalem is a holy city, now it is to the world, it is to people that's made it a holy city, and yet it is not a holy city. It is a place of evil. It's a place of sorcery. It's a place of witchcraft. It's called, in equal terms, a city of Sodom. Now, you know what the city of Sodom was all about. You know what the Bible thought about the city of Sodom. You know what it thought about the city of Gomorrah. And as it was in the days of Sodom and Gomorrah, so shall it be in these last days when Yahweh himself prophesied against the city by saying, let him that readeth understand. Then let them that be in Judea flee to the mountains. Oh, my. Let them flee to the mountains. Why? I just told you that the Bible is telling you here that they're going to be, this city is going to be destroyed. Well, it was destroyed in 70 A.D. Now, remember this. 70 A.D., it was destroyed. Now, my question to you, would Yahweh let his holy city be destroyed if it was his holy city? Or could it have been somebody else's holy city? This could have been, couldn't it? And possibly it was, simply because it was not a place of Yahweh's choosing. It's real simple, ladies and gentlemen. Since it wasn't a place of Yahweh's choosing, what then, or where, do you think that Yahweh's place of choosing was? Well, it's right in the Bible. It's very plain. It's right there where Yahweh commanded his name to be placed, and I just mentioned the place where it was to be planted. Now, again, but when you shall see the abomination of desolation spoken of by Daniel the prophet standing where it ought not. Now, ladies and gentlemen, they were sacrificing down in the temple. And Christ said it was a temple of snakes. This is the abomination standing where it ought not to stand. The abomination was that they had changed the location and worship that Yahweh chose to put his name at a place. We're going to get into the biblical scriptures to identify this place and its location and geographical. You know, I've had some people take issue with me. These are supposed to be long scholars. And I marvel at their ignorance and their stupidity. I mean, you know, if you would take their brains and put them in their arms, they would fly backwards. Ladies and gentlemen, it is ridiculously and it is marvelously how that Satan has bound people through tradition and deceit as they cast the ground, the truth to the ground. Geographically, they can't cast it any farther than the ground I'm going to locate. Ephratah. Where in the world is Ephratah? Now, some people have imagined it to be a man, not a geographical location. That it was a man named Ephratah. You know, that's about as ridiculous as I have mentioned about where the brain ought to be. These people actually park their brain somewhere under their belt in some location beneath the belt. I don't know where in the anatomy that they stick it, but they really stick their head in a place where they can't get the revelation. These are the fleshly people that the Bible would tell you is not the people of Yahweh. Now, I'm going to ask you, where is Ephratah? Well, we started, and I'm going to have to get in just to set a little precedent here and to lay a little groundwork and give you a little background here of the geographical location. I'm going to finish it up here just in a moment of Shechem as we detail the first temple. We're going to tell you that it wasn't favored by those people down south. Now, in the 35th chapter of the book of Genesis, again, we have the location of Bethel. Here we find that it is up in the northern territory of Shechem, where Shechem is located, on the Mount of Gerizim, where the high priest, the Melchizedek, the high priest of Genesis 14, met Abraham, and there Abraham considered this a holy place. And we're going to find out more about that geographically. Ephratah is not a person. Ephratah is a place prophesied by Micah that he would be born not in Bethlehem, Judea, as the lying scribe said, but in Bethlehem, the distinction of honoring themselves with a Messiah and with a town to claim as their own. And when you go there, they're making plenty of money by sending you down to Bethlehem, Judea. And I then give you archaeology. The chief archaeologist in Israel said, not so. But they have found evidence in the north of a little town. Guess where? Yep, right up here where I'm talking about tonight in Shechem. So, to set the record straight, the ancient city of Shechem, 40 miles north of present-day Old Jerusalem, which is called Sodom in the Bible, Revelation 11 and 8, 5.5 miles southeast of Samaria, on the only natural inland route between Judah and Galilee. It was a natural place for these two houses to meet at Shechem, not down in the south where we have the present day Jezebite stronghold. We've then proved it, that the place of Jerusalem, located in the 15th chapter of the book of Joshua and the 10th chapter of the book of Joshua, that there was a Jerusalem, and it was a city of the Canaanites. Now, according to Hebrew tradition, not Jewish tradition, as most people think that all of Israel was Jews, so they call them Jewish. That is a fatal mistake to the understanding, the ignorant unlearned, where they've parked their brain somewhere below the belt. It is noted in the Bible that Abraham, who met the king of Salem, oh, the king of Salem, the city of peace, at the place, the very place where Shechem is located. Now, we've got biblical proof. Both Abraham, Jacob, and Isaac adopted this as their home place, or a holy place, where the family had a home place. This is the place that Joseph inherited. This is the place in the fourth chapter of John that the Messiah stood right by the well and talked to a woman. She said, well, we're supposed to worship over here in Jerusalem. Oh, boy, was he ever given her a revelation? Well, we're supposed to go there in Jerusalem to worship. Thinking that she had bought into the poison apple that the Jews, the Canaanite Jews, had by default had taken everybody out of the present-day Shechem family worship center, the house of Yahweh, not the temple. The temple is a Latin word. It's not a Hebrew word. So he's going to rebuild the temple. Oh, yeah, they're going to. What about over there in that Canaanite stronghold city where three unclean spirits that have organized a religion out of the mouth of the beast and the false prophet are telling you that this is God's holy city, Salem, Jerusalem, when I have proven it to be a fact that it was a Canaanite city, and the city that Melchizedek in Genesis 14 met Abraham on in Genesis 12 and 6, Yahweh made a covenant with Abraham. In Genesis 33:20, he confirmed it with Jacob, and Jacob slept at Beth-El, which is Bethlehem, according to the 35th chapter of the book of Genesis and the 19th verse. How plain, geographically speaking, must I preach and try to get these ignorant, unlearned, stupid, their head under their belt somewhere below, and refuse to look at the truth of the Scriptures? We're not ashamed of this gospel. We're not ashamed to teach it, because it's provable, and only the sheep. This is not meant for the dogs, for the slow bellies, the slow learners, the never learners. Always study. Well, I know that Pastor Billy preaches that that Jesus is going to be born up there and somewhere in the north in another city, but the Bible said, glory to God, he was born down in Bethlehem, Judea. Yep, that's exactly what the Bible says in Matthew chapter 2, verses 2 through 4. But it wasn't any righteous men saying it. It was the lying scribes who had misquoted on purpose, intentional, to deceive the ignorant Christians. There are three major religions now vying for supremacy, each one jealous of the other, because they think it's a holy city, and that Jesus is going to come back and set his feet down in Jerusalem south, when in actuality, the temple that he built, the place he commanded them to sacrifice, where his name was at, was 40 miles north. Now, you reckon he's never changed his mind? You reckon he's the same yesterday, today, and forever? No wonder it says here in Luke, standing where it ought not. When you see the abomination was the sacrificing of the lies of the temple that Herod built. This was a place that was certainly not a place that Yahweh favored. We know for sure, ladies and gentlemen, that he called it a house of snakes. When he whipped the money changers, does that ring a bell? Does that bring anybody to your mind, or is your head still under your belt somewhere? Ladies and gentlemen, let me tell you something right now. The money changers are still present. They're more powerful than they ever were, and they would deceive the very elect if it's possible. But the sheep will hear the voice or the truth of Yahweh. Local legend identifies the well that stood at the crossroads. And isn't it strange? He that believeth upon me, as the Scriptures have said, out of his belly shall flow rivers of living water. Here, under the hill of Mount Gerizim, was where the city of Shechem got its water. This is the place that Jacob designated as his home place. This is where Jacob lived. This is where Jacob was buried. This is where Joseph inherited. This is where Ephraim received his father Joseph's blessing of a double portion of the firstborn birthright son. And there's not one other man I know in the Bible that was to receive the birthright after it was handed down from Abraham, Isaac, and then to Jacob, and then to Joseph, and then to the sons of Joseph, according to the 2 Chronicles 13 and 5. This is the covenant that I will make with the those after those days, saith Yahweh. With David and his sons I will make a salt covenant forever. And this is the truth, ladies and gentlemen, and right here is where the altar was built. The first altar was built by Abraham right here at Shechem in the northern territory, 40 miles north. I'm going to geographically rub it in on you lowbellies, slowbellies, wannabes, scholars, and things that have taught that the blessing is down south. The blessing is up north here, ladies and gentlemen. The city that Yahweh chose was Shechem. It was the ancient Salem or Jerusalem where the Melchizedek priest stepped out of the fifth dimension, set his feet in a holy place. No wonder that Jacob, when he slept on that pillow, and when he seen angels ascending and descending, that it was so incredible. Ladies and gentlemen, that he marveled, and there he anointed a temple. He anointed a temple for being in the presence of Yahweh. Not down in Jerusalem called Sodom. You think Yahweh's feet would stand there? Yahweh placed his name first at Shechem. He said, here you shall sacrifice. Here you shall worship me. Not in a temple. That's a Latin word. But in the house of Yahweh. That is a Hebrew word. Now, at this little well of John chapter 4, again, we find the Messiah standing right there. Well, it's ironic that we go to the 11th chapter and the 59th verse of the book of John again. And we find that the last days, right before he was killed, the last days of the Messiah, matter of fact, the last 30 days of his life was spent not down there in Bethlehem, Judea. Why didn't he go to Bethlehem, Judea if that was his birthplace? Why did he go to the mountain of Mount Gerizim? To a city called Ephraim. I wonder why. Is it beginning to dawn on you that he just could have been from the blessed birthright tribe of Joseph, Ephraim? Could it have been that he spent his last days in memory, fond memory, because he told the Canaanite Jews that he knew Abraham? Boy, they got a big kick out of that one. And what I'm giving you tonight is bringing it back to your attention in the geographical zone, pinpointed, biblically speaking, and can be proven without a shadow of a doubt that he favored this area himself even before he died. Was he going back 1,300 years? Was he going back to the time that Jacob dug his well, and in the time period of Genesis chapter 12, verse 6, where he made a covenant with Abraham, he said, I know Abraham. They said, you're not even 50 years old, and you say you know Abraham. Oh, get out of here. You are beside yourself. You are foolish. Who in the world would believe that? And nobody, but nobody, would believe that except those to whom it was given to know the truth. Before Abraham was, I am. He was the one standing right there at this particular geographical spot. I guarantee you he knew exactly where he was standing as the Melchizedek high priest when he met Abraham, not at the Canaanite city of Jerusalem, northern city of Shechem, or Salem, called peace, which is Jerusalem, meaning peace. This is the true city where Abraham stood, where the Messiah, Yahweh himself in a flesh body, stood and addressed him in Genesis 12 and 6, and his offspring, his grandson, Jacob, in 33:20. And the well that Jacob dug was at the crossroad just north of town as Jacob's well, where Hebrew tradition claimed that he purchased a nearby field. Now listen to this. Well, it wasn't Hebrew tradition. It's biblical, proven in Genesis 33:19. Shechem gained its primary symbolic significance when Yahshua, made it the covenant center for the Israelite Confederacy in 1300 B.C. Joshua chapter 24, and in the book of Deuteronomy 27, I wish I could, I preached on the covenant altar made in the book of Deuteronomy 27 many, many times, and referring it to the geographical place where the covenant center of worship was to be put. And the significance of Mount Gerizim, of the two sevens that I indicated, that it is 3,100 and 20 feet, or 2,930 feet, and Mount Ebal, which is its companion mountain, is 3,130 feet, which adds up to seven. Seven is complete. A double witness of completeness is Mount Gerizim. What's the difference between Mount Gerizim and Mount Ebal? Well, according to the book of Deuteronomy, chapter 27, there were two distinctively and different altars built on these mountains. The altar at Mount Gerizim was a blessing altar with 12 tribes instructed on the full and the new moon to go there and offer up acceptable sacrifices and to pray for the peace of this place, Jerusalem, Shechem, and to offer up their sacrifices and to gather there to worship. And that's on Mount Gerizim, 2,930 feet is the elevation, and it's a total of 14 in the numeric patterns, which is two sevens, and Mount Ebal, which is 3,130 feet, on that mountain were the other six tribes to position themselves in the new moon, the dark side of the moon. They were to go up there, particularly six tribes, and six tribes only. Very peculiar, our Yahweh, isn't he? What were they going up there for, Pastor Buddy? To curse their enemies. To curse their enemies. On Mount Ebal was the cursing altar. On Mount Gerizim was the blessing altar. And you reckon they might have had some city down south in mind? Later on, we'll show you the warfare that ensued and the involvement, if you will. And, ladies and gentlemen, here we are, Jacob and Abraham and Isaac all built altars there, as I've said, and the city of Shechem was the temple or the covenant place of worship to the God of the covenant. Yahweh himself chose this particular spot where I have mentioned to you that he met Abraham up on top of this mountain, Mount Gerizim, to establish a holy place. This place was destroyed later by Abimelech, the son of an Israelite, Gideon. It was rebuilt by Solomon. Oh, my. Now, wait a minute. Let me read this again here. Through the city and its fortified temple, or house of worship, do you believe that somebody came up there from the south and burned it? Was there a tad bit of jealousy? Sounds like it, doesn't it? But look up Abimelech. You'll find out, ladies and gentlemen, that his name is mud in a lot of scriptures. He was son of the Savior at that time, of Gideon. He burned it with fire and destroyed it. It was rebuilt by Solomon. Oh my. Rebuilt by Solomon. So the temple of Solomon, was it built down in Jerusalem, or was it built up in north, 40 miles north by Solomon, like the Bible said it was? Now much later, Israelite kings, including Solomon's son, Rehoboam, and his rival Jeroboam, were anointed in this city, standing on a pillar. Oh, my. What kind of pillar, Pastor Buddy? Was it the home stone? Was this a cherished, holy stone? Was this the home center, worship center, that Yahweh chose? The one down south, was it the one the Canaanites chose? They're still there to this day, ladies and gentlemen. And now they're there in mass. It was the first capital of the kingdom of Israel until Omara built Samaria as a more defensible strategic site. Shechem gained importance, listen to this now, showing you the rival jealousy of the two houses, the house of Judah, who mixed with a Canaanite in the book of Genesis 38 again. I have to bring this up because the protectors of the Jews won't. We got Israelite identity that defend Christ as a Jew. And ladies and gentlemen, they're so far out of the park with their head under their belt somewhere below. And after the Babylonian exile of the house of Judah, now remember, Israel was deported to Assyria in 731. In 586, the Babylonian exile returned, and natives excluded from the temple in Jerusalem. Now, wait a minute. Natives of where? Natives of the northern Galilee. They hated those Galileans up north. It was a tribal rivalry between the northern kingdom and the southern kingdom. They warred. They killed each other. Oh, my. Oh, it's a strange thing. And yet people, the temple in Jerusalem was built. Now we got another Jerusalem here, down south. It excluded the rival Galileans who went north and built a rival place of worship on Mount Gerizim, rebuilt. the claiming rival places of worship, each claiming to be the sole heir of the Hebrew rite of worship, led to clashes between the Jews and the Sumerians during the Hellenistic era, when Hashmonean dynasty in Jerusalem occupied the province of Samaria, and Jonathan Hyrcanus destroyed Shechem and burned the temple on Mount Gerizim in 127 B.C. You reckon that the man from Galilee, you reckon he knew all about that? You reckon that he knew that those who claimed to be in the holy city of Jerusalem were actually imposters? Well, again, he told them they were. He told them exactly where the temple should be, and they hated him even the more. And they said, nothing good comes out of Galilee in the north. Oh, they were still this rival, this animosity, this bitterness, this infighting of the clan. The clan to the south was partitioned and told not to mix with those up north, and the northern hated those race-mixing traitors to the south. And Joshua designed the partition. If you read the partition, starting at the 17th chapter of the book of Joshua, and reading through the 24th chapter, you're going to find exactly why that he did this. It was because that the northern kingdom did not want to marry or give their sons and daughters into this mixed blood people of the south who had mixed their seed with a Canaanite mother. The Israelites knew this, ladies and gentlemen. I don't know where you know it, but they did. The ones up north. The Galileans. Was Christ a Galilean? Was Peter a Galilean? Was James a Galilean? Was John a Galilean? Was Paul a Galilean?
Oh, you say no, he's a Jew.
No, you can't read that. We know exactly what tribe he was from. He's from the tribe of Benjamin. So his bloodline was okay, because he was born of Jacob and Rachel, the beloved. And so then, all that got the Holy Ghost. Now, I'm challenging you here. I'm challenging your ability to search. Go to Acts chapter 2, verse 4. And see if the Holy Ghost wasn't poured out on the 120, and go to the seventh verse and see if it wasn't all Galileans. Not one Jew, not one person from the south called a Judean received the baptism of the Holy Ghost. There's a reason for it, ladies and gentlemen, and we're over the target here tonight, and I preach myself out of time, and I apologize for the bad connection here at the start of the program, and hope you didn't give up on me and you stayed with me tonight. Praise Yahweh. And we'll try to find out what our problem is in our transmission box here at the studio. Now, tomorrow night, I'm going to the book of Zechariah, chapter 14, and I'm going to show you, then I'm going to eventually wind up over in Galatians chapter 4 to prove to you that there's two Bethlehems, and to prove that there's two Jerusalems, one from below and one above, in this sense, a allegory that Paul is displaying, but I believe he's leaving us a little physical groundwork here to turn us on to something. That there was a bondwoman and her seed, bond. wonder who that was. Well, the Bible said it was Hagar. But if we come from Hagar up to, what was that guy's name that was born of Isaac? Was his name Esau? Did he marry into the Canaanite family? Do we have a connection here, ladies and gentlemen, when we get over to the bondwoman of the fourth chapter of the book of Galatians? I think so. This is what Paul was talking about. Paul got his education down on the road to Damascus when he was amazed, as in the 26th chapter of the book of Acts, he was struck down and heard a voice in the Hebrew tongue. Not the Latin, not the Greek. It spoke to him in Hebrew tongue, and it certainly didn't say, Jesus, I am Jesus. Spoke to him in Hebrew tongue. He didn't say, I'm Jesus. If you believe that, we've got some property for you over on the mountain that you might call holy, which there's nothing holy about it, ladies and gentlemen. It's just three unclean spirits fighting over it. This is a place where your Messiah was crucified, and he was trying to point them up to, back to Shechem, up in the Jerusalem in the north, where he chose them a long time ago, where his feet had touched the mount of Gerizim, where he had promised through Joshua the covenants of blessings. But when they began to scatter abroad and the rivalry came up, it was the southern kingdom that won out. And today, there is little distinction between the two temples that we're talking about. The other temple has been forgotten. The temple that is down in Jerusalem, rebuilt by Herod the Edomite, that's not a holy temple. You think Yahweh would go in that dirty, filthy place where the blood of all of the righteous from Abel, including himself, was spilt by the Sanhedrin court law of the Jews? I don't think so. You're going to get the rest of the story tomorrow night. You don't want to miss it, ladies and gentlemen. You need to stay tuned with us tomorrow night. We got a great, great, great program for you tomorrow night. We're going, as I said, into the book of Zechariah chapter 14, as we're going to lay a gestalt. I've decided to take my time and go through this so that you will know without any reservations, and lay you the scriptures down. If you don't know where they're at, we're going to lay them down for you, and we're going to give them to you just like the Bible says, and we're going to take on all comers. When you see the abomination of desolation, standing in the place it ought not, it was something going on down that temple that ought not have been going on. And did you know when he ripped the veil of that temple? Did you know that when he ripped it, that there was no Ark of the Covenant there? And you thought all along that it was a place that Yahweh had chose to put his name there and was a holy temple. Well, I don't think so, ladies and gentlemen. We'll deal with that tomorrow night. You're listening to the Shepherd's Call, Pastor Buddy. Thank you for staying up late and listening to the Shepherd's Call. We're going to bring it on to you very strong.